First Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. I'm reading from the NIV. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. The Lord will add his blessings. The Lord's blessings are already added to his words. May it be sanctified to our hearts. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, we give you thanks for this hour, the hour that we come to celebrate the homegoing of one of your beloved sons. And we come now to open the word, to speak to the hearts of those who come to say goodbye. We pray that comfort and consolation will be given to the saints. Challenge and a call will be given to the unsaved, with the hope that no one here today will leave without that glorious hope of meeting with Mel and gathering with you at that last trump. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to share with you from the thought, the future gathering of all believers with Jesus. The future gathering of all believers with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we celebrate our brother Melvin's homegoing, we who are saved do not do so in ignorance, but we do so with a clear understanding that we will meet him, be gathered together with him sooner or later. That our gathering in the future, or our reunion in the future, is assured. We know that because he, Mel, loved the Lord, and we who love the Lord, will one day come together again to part no more. To live with each other and the Lord throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. The young church in Thessalonica, the believers were expecting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lifetime. Many of them were expecting that the Lord Jesus would come in their lifetime. But as time went by, and the brethren, the believers, were dying, the church was concerned. There was some concern because there was the uncertainty of what would happen to those believers who died prior to the return, the parousia, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The concern suggests that they were ignorant regarding the whole matter of the return of Christ and the whole concept of the resurrection in relationship to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul, knowing their struggles, what they were going through, wanted to clarify for them, give them understanding of their future and the future of those who pass on before the coming of the Lord. Hence he set forth the passage that is before us this morning. The essence of the passage is whether or not we are alive, awake in Christ, or we sleep in him, it does not matter. It will not affect our gathering together with the Lord, our transformation, our bodily transformation, and our ascension. And here is the word: simultaneously or together. So no need to worry. We don't have any advantage over Mel, and he doesn't have any over us, other than right now he's in the presence of the Lord. But as far as the future is concerned, neither those who are asleep or alive has any advantage over the other. We shall be with our Lord. Amen. And that is the glorious hope of the saints. So I ask you to briefly look with me at a passage this morning. First, the future gathering of those who sleep in Jesus is based on Christ's resurrection. The future gathering, the coming back, what will happen to the saints who sleep is based on what has happened to Jesus, based in his resurrection. 13 and 14, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the cross. of the whole matter. And so, think with me, the early church, not having a complete manuscript, Bible, not having all the information regarding the future, struggling with their hope now that one by one they are dying. Their brothers, their sisters are dying. They need some answers. They need clarification. So now they are getting clarification. One, those who pass on, those believers who are dying, are not to be considered as being dead. Notice what Paul says. We don't want you to be ignorant concerning who? Not the dead. Not the dead. But those who are asleep. Those who are asleep. Now, it is interesting that Jesus Christ died, but he rose. And because Christ rose, believers will never die. So that those of us who pass on in Christ, those of us who pass on in Christ, sleep in Christ, and will not die. So don't worry yourself, brethren, about the dead. Because your loved ones are not dead. Only those outside of Christ die. Those inside of Christ sleep in Christ. The first thought gives way, clarity to the second thought. What then will happen to those who are sleeping in Christ? And verse 14 says that when Christ comes for those who are yet awake, he will bring with Christ those who are asleep. So notice that we who are alive, we who are alive, don't have any advantage over those who sleep. Because when Christ returns for us, he will return, will be returning with those who are asleep in him. So hear it, my friend. Melvin is not dead. Melvin is not dead. He sleeps in Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns for his saints, Melvin will be with Jesus, coming in the clouds of glory. We know that we will be reunited with him. It is the assurance. As sure as Christ was raised from the dead, that is the confidence we have that we will be reunited with Melvin. For if you believe that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you must believe that Melvin is alive in Christ. But for now, his presence, his physical presence, is not with us. He's gone home now. He sleeps in the Lord. So we miss him. Melvin, you will miss your dad. It's okay.
It's okay. You're not going to hear his voice for a long time, however long that will be. You're not going to hear his voice unless you have some tape of his voice. You're not going to be able to call him up and say, Dad, how you doing? Every once in a while you may reach for the phone only to be reminded you can't get his number right now, where he lives. There will be the absence of his presence, but there is the glorious hope. There is the glory. The underlying tenure here is the glorious hope that we shall meet again. We shall be gathered. So here is the comfort. Do not grieve as hopeless men. Those who have no hope in the text means heathen. It means unsaved. The whole mass of humanity who are outside of Christ, they have no hope, regardless of what I say to you. They have no hope as far as the future is concerned, because the glorious hope of resurrection and reunion is only in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sit there saying, what a narrow-minded man. I am so glad to be narrow-minded. I want to tell you, I've never known. You know the most narrow-minded person I know in the world? Jesus. I've not known of anybody who's as narrow-minded as Jesus, who says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. No man. Oh, come on, Jesus, you know. I am the door. I am the way. But he's right, you know. You cannot get to the Father any other way except through the Son. So I come to tell you, if you are not saved, you have no for the future. Regardless of what you may think about yourself, you are hopeless. But I come to tell you, you don't have to leave hopeless. You can leave with that glorious hope of being with Jesus, seeing them and all the saints. Secondly, the future guarantee or reunion with each other and the Lord. The future guarantees our reunion with each other, but not only with each other, but with the Lord. Our meeting with our Lord and reunion with all the saints are guaranteed by God. At the rapture, those who sleep in Christ will not be disadvantaged by those who are alive. Hear me, folks. Those who sleep will not be disadvantaged. Look with me at verse 15. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, if you have the King James Version, the word is prevent. That is the wrong word. The right word is precede in the NIV, because the idea is not to hinder, but to go before. So what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church is that, don't worry. You're not going any place before your brethren who are asleep. You're not going to experience
the transformation of your body, nor are you going to experience the ascension, the rapture, before those who are asleep. And that's what the text is saying. You're not going to be advantage over those who are asleep. Because notice again, verse 14 says, God will bring Melvin with Jesus. You like that? God will bring Mel with Jesus when Jesus comes. The spirits of the departed saints will come down with Jesus. I want you to see that glorious sight. I don't know if we're going to be able to see Mel before he gets to his body, but when Jesus appears in the cloud, all the departed saints will be with him, flying around in the air, behind their commander, behind their Lord, occupying the air with the Lord. For the Lord himself, the text says, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Phillips, in his Bible, Phillips Express, gives the dynamism of what is just said. One word of command, one shout from the archangel, one blast from the trumpet of God, and Jesus will come. One blast from the trumpet, and Jesus will appear in the sky. Amen. With all the saints who have gone on before him. And then something wonderful is going to happen. The bodies of the departed, the saints in their spirit, so is Christ in the sky. Then the bodies of all those who died at sea, fissured in them, whose bodies have fertilized the earth, wherever they are, they shall come back together. And the saints who are saved will now re-emerge into their bodies, and in the moment's time, they will be transformed. Hold, listen, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. In a sight, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 52, that is, after all that has taken place, all that, in one moment's time, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up, listen now, together, not one group before the other. We who are alive, all of us now, those who have been raised to life, re-inhabit their bodies, transform, turn, change. Together, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Because our bodies are changed, the gravitational force of earth will have no power over us. we shall be caught up to meet Him. Caught up to meet Him in the air. No more! No more of the forces of life, the forces of nature taking its effect upon our lives. Listen, my friend, the blessings of change or transformation of our bodies and a rupture will be shared simultaneously. But I want you to know something glorious. Over the years, those of you who know Mel, over the years, hard work, the lifting of those refrigerators on his back like a Superman. If you know him, he would wrap something around a refrigerator and go underneath it and lift it up all by himself. If you watched him get old, the force of life, the hard life, bend him over. He was bent over. We saw him as the ravages of life took its toll on his physical structure. But before he is raptured, his body will be renewed. No more bending over for Mel. No more bending over. His body will be renewed. He will be changed. His body will be new. He will look like a child. And his smooth, his body will be smooth like a child. He will look healthy. And you, my friend, many of us who are, when I came to this church almost 40 years ago, I was beautiful and handsome. And look at me now. Look at me now. The ravages of time. I don't even look like the beauty I was then. But one day, I will again look like a young boy. Because I'll be changed. I'm waiting for that day when I won't have to look in the mirror every morning to see if something is sagging more. We shall be changed. And then, after the change, to meet our Lord in the air. Oh, I want to ask you, my friend, do you know this Jesus? The one who has changed our hearts by saving us, and who will change our body so that it be like his own. If you don't know this Jesus, what a hopeless life you live, regardless of how well things are with you. I want you to know you are pitiful. For outside of Christ is mere existence. Mere existence. There is no real hope for the future. You live, you acquire your profession, you grow up, you get wealthy, or you stay poor, or whatever you accumulate, and you live, and if you are fortunate, you live as old as Mel, and then you die. But will it be death or sleep? Will it be death or sleep? It all depends on whether or not you have come to the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus. And finally, the future gathering is the basis
of our hope and comfort.
Look at verse 18. Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
This is the basis of our hope, my friend. The basis of our hope is our gathering together with Jesus and our reunion with each other and the transformation of our body and the rapturing of our physical body to be with Jesus. And there shall we be with him forever. Not for time. Not for time, but forever and ever and ever. And as the song says, forever is a long, long time.
Amen.
Now Paul says to the believers, to you and I, comfort one another with these words. Speak it to each other. Not just sometimes. Speaking to each other all the time. Encourage one another. Often with these words. Let them know. Let each other know. That God is in control. Let them know. The once in a while you get down. Your spirit gets low. The circumstances of life seem to crowd you. And you seem to be to lose perspective. You need draws nigh. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort with one another that the world is not going to end by any disaster other than the power of God. When God is ready to call in the chips, nobody can stand in his way.
Amen.
Only he and he alone. Regardless of what you hear on the news, bunch of baloney, it's only God has control over the human race.
Amen.
Sooner or later, one day, he will come, call every man to account. Then that will be the end of time. As we know it. We must all answer to him.
Amen.
We must all answer to him. Hear me, my friend. God is in control.
Amen.
He has so designed and ordered everything that at his will and at his time and his set purpose, this word, every human being will be called to account, to answer to him for the life they have lived on this earth. I want you to know as I close that you can leave here today with a great hope, with a great hope of knowing that you will meet men. But more so, you will be gathered to Jesus to be with him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, every head bow, and every eye closed. I say to the saints gathered here today, go out from here and be encouraged and encourage each other. Make sure you speak these words often to each other so that in this perverse, discouraging world, your heart can be stirred and encouraged. The family of Mel, then, will often need to hear this word again to support and encourage so that you will not lose hope or get downcast by in your spirit. Speak it to each other. For those of you who are not saved, what hope there is for you. How may I encourage you today? I cannot encourage you much today, because you will not see Mel again. That is hopeless. And you will not be reunited, you will not be united with Jesus, because you don't know him as your Savior and Lord. But I want you to know that you can have that hope. You can have that hope. With your heads bowed, Father, we give you thanks for the glorious hope that we have in Jesus. How we pray right now that the saints will indeed be encouraged as they look towards the day of their gathering and reuniting with the saints and with you. But we pray now for the unsaved, who maybe it is only an occasion like this would bring them to church. Or maybe they have gone to church for all their lives, but they have never heard the challenge of salvation. They think that if they are good, they will get into your heaven. What a tragedy if that is their thought today. We pray that their hearts and minds will be open. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, Mel would never forgive me if I didn't give you an opportunity to trust Christ as Savior. If you are here this morning, you are not saved, and the Spirit of God will speak into your heart, and you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Forgive my sins, I pray. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Give me your Holy Spirit to give me life and to bring me into your family. I pray this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again in order to give me life. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
You know, if we pray that prayer, we pass down. At least you let us know.